Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. May I ask all the Friday school children to stand up once? All Friday school children, wherever you are, at your location, all of you stand up. God bless you all. Can you also take your Bibles from your parents or your own Bibles, every one of you? And open Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 and 33. We are all going to read it together, only for Friday school children. Once you are ready, say hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 and 33. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So shall we go together? One, two, three, go. So be careful. Amen. Please take your seats. Let's pray. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, it's a great privilege and honor for all of us to come before you, praising you and worshiping you, and thanking you for what you have done in our lives, what you have done in this church over these past 40 years, Lord. We say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, at this precious time, we lift your holy word into your presence and commit all of our minds and souls and bodies into your hand, Lord. Holy Spirit, God, take complete control of our hearts and minds, Lord, so that, Lord, we may listen to your word attentively, understand it to our hearts, apply it diligently to our lives, and live it for your glory and to bring eternal glory to your name and to your word alone. We commit all of us into your precious hands. Hide me behind your cross, Lord, and let your word and let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. All right. So for the next 45 to 50 minutes, we shall go into a brief exhortation pertaining to the obedience to God's authority and order. Obedience to God's authority and order. So what is it? So we are going to take our scriptures from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 1 to 16 in particular. However, we are going to take many more verses. We are going to read extensively. So keep your Bibles open, all of you. And peradventure, if you don't have a Bible, please look onto the screen. I do not have a presentation, but all the scriptures will be displayed and focus on each and every scripture. The first scripture what we have read through our children is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 and 33. Our promise for this year is Deuteronomy chapter 5, 33. We all know that one. However, I have made the children to read one verse before that, 32 and 33. I am repeating that one in NIV. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. So I pause here. When God is instructing the nation of Israel through his servant Moses to obey his commandments, God is saying two important words. In that, you need to underline two specific words or two specific sentences. First one is to be careful to do. We all know what it is to be careful, right? Whenever we go out, or whenever we do certain things, our parents instruct us, our elders instruct us, even our managers in the job instruct us to do it carefully. Because if we do carelessly, the result will be or could be a disaster. The result could be something which is not of a desired one. So there is an instruction for all of us to be careful, and this is the instruction of the very supreme sovereign God who created you and me to be careful to do. So that's the first message we learned from the Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. In that same verse, you see, God has already commanded you another thing. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Why is God so particular and be specific when he's commanding? When you are walking, you have a goal, you have a purpose. It is what I have commanded you to do. In that journey, you will have multiple opportunity to miss out your mark. That's where you will see a right side and the left side paths all through your journey. God is not talking about a physical road. God is talking about your and mine life journey. Starting from a small child and to the eldest of us, every one of us has to continuously take decision day in and day out. As we move into this life, we take decisions. And God said, I have given you a path of righteousness to travel. Those are my commandments. And I'm asking you, I'm commanding you to be careful to do them. In that journey, you will face a multiple permutations and combinations for you to miss out the journey. And to that end, you need to be careful not to go to the right side and not to go to the left side. So a diligent, wise child of God always sees his mark, which means to the end to which he is called. So we don't live per se day in and day out only for this day. If God has called us for a purpose in our lives, we always need to constantly remember why God has called us to be his children. For that, how much he has paid the price for us, his precious blood. And then we understand what is the purpose of my life for which I am called. And in this journey, God is asking us, be careful, don't go right or don't go left. And then verse 33, walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. The underlined word is the all, right? Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. And this commandment is with a promise. And God never misses out on his promise. Because when the supreme authority of this universe, the creator of the heavens and earth, is giving you a promise, be sure God will fulfill his promise. But there are terms and conditions. The terms and conditions for you to be saved to his kingdom is, if it is your faith, the terms and conditions for the blessing in your life journey is your obedience, is my obedience. So that's where God is asking us to obey all that he has commanded. So in this call for obedience, there are many commands God has given, the Ten Commandments and the 613 commandments God has given to the nation of Israel. And then when Christ came and he summarized everything in one word, love is the fulfillment of all the law. There are many things we must continue to do in love. So that's the underlining commandment of the Lord. All the commandments still exist, but I'm telling you, you cannot do it in your strength. You have been redeemed and made a new creation, and now you do all these commandments in love. So this day, we are going to take one aspect of that obedience. Because there are many commands, but for our message today, we are taking one aspect of that commandment. And what is that commandment, what is that obedience we need to do is to the God's created authority and order. So let's all turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In this chapter, we continuously read every beginning of the month regarding the communion, the Lord's table, from verses 17 to 34. However, today we are going to see a parallel command which was given to the Corinthian church by Paul in verses 1 to 16. So Paul, starting to the Corinthian church, he says that follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So when he says you follow me, you don't follow me as a person, But what I have learned and what I have obeyed and what I have shown to you as the church, the body of Christ, the Corinthian church, as well as all the churches in those Asia Minor, Paul is telling you, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. This is very important to understand the next continuous 15 verses, because Paul has already put the model and example as Jesus Christ for what he's going to explain to the Corinthian church. Now, in this chapter, he does two things, actually. In the beginning of this first 15 to 16 verses, he tells them that, I have a praise for you. I commend you that whatever I have already told you that you are doing it. But from 17 to 34, he says that I do not have praise for you because you miss the mark in how you are obeying the command which I passed on to you. So shall we read verse 17? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 17 says, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Parallelly, when we come to verse 3, now I want, verse 2 I'm reading, I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings, just I pass them on to you. You see, so he is specifically commanding the Corinthian church and also reminding them that in certain things that has been passed on to you as a congregation, as the body of Christ, you are doing good, but that there are certain things which you have been failing, for which I am going to admonish you. That's the context of this chapter. Now, Paul goes on to a very important admonition in verses 3 onwards. Now, what Paul is saying now is, now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Here Paul introduces the order of function. This is very important for all the church to know all the times, not just to the Corinthian church, only during the time of early church, but this instruction is for every church all the time. There is a reason behind why Paul has been instructing this command to the church. The reason is that it is the commandment which God has given Paul to be passed on to the church. It is not an invention of Paul that Paul is commanding the church. This is the order of creation and also the order of function God has established in his sovereign wisdom, and Paul is telling, as I have passed on certain commandments in which you are able to do it and I praise you, now this one I want you to realize. In another version, NKJV, you will see, I want you to know. So it is important for the church to know, to have the understanding of what God has given to us as an ordained order and authority. And what is this? And that order is that head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Now Paul is straight away going to the creation and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So Paul is referring to the very created order in which God has created his creation. Did God create the entire creation in order or randomly? Right? In a perfect order. We see when God created the very heavens and earth and all the things in the earth and all the living beings in the earth, God did not create them in one day. God has taken 6 days to create them. It's not God has taken, to be precise, God has decided to create his creation in a particular order, in a particular number of days. And then God said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And then finally God said, it is very good. Why did God choose to create the creation in that particular order? Do you have an answer? Do I have an answer? Absolutely no. But we know that the sovereign God, who is all wise, all powerful, all holy, all perfect God, knows exactly why he has created in that particular order. So when he created the man, God created the man in his image and in his glory. So who came first as a being in this universe, in the image and the likeness of God. It is man who came first as the image and the glory of God. So, when God determines a man, when he is worshiping God, that's where the image and likeness of God must be represented with a physical sign. So that's the order and authority. Now Paul is introducing to the church, to everyone, saying that one, a man ought not to cover his head while he is praying or prophesying. What does that mean? Let's break it down. Let's say me as a man comes here and I pray and also I prophesy. The meaning of prophesying is speaking forth the word of God. It is not future telling. The word of God is extensive in the understanding that prophesying is, the meaning is speaking forth the word of God, which is exactly what I am doing. That I am praying here and then I am preaching the word of God. I am prophesying the word of God to all of you. At this time, I represent the creation of God with an image and likeness of the very God, and then my head represents that sign of authority. And if I come with a hoodie or a hat or a cap and I cover my head, I am dishonoring my authority. And then why God is talking about the head as the authority? Because the very creation of God, a human body, is a template where everyone understands with common sense where the functioning happens. Right? If I function in this world, who is my Lord? Who is the authority over me for me to function? It is my Lord Jesus Christ who makes me function in the way I am supposed to function as a human and as well as a believing child of God. Now we come to the believers, right? Don't you have the word head in everywhere in your car, in your secular world? Children, do you have the head of departments of physics, science, computer? If you don't have heads of departments in your school, raise your hands. If you don't have heads of departments in your corporates, raise your hands, in your offices. If you don't have, don't remember listening to the heads of family, heads of tribes in the past 6,000 years, raise your hands. This is a common understanding for the whole world. The whole world itself has taken it from the word of God, that they know that the headship, the head represents authority, because our body functions in the same way. If I have to work or if I have to move my hands, if I have to speak, it is my head that gives the order, and it is my head that gives the functioning ability to my whole body. So God is clearly saying that it is the headship which I am referring to. So when I created you as a man in my image and glory, when you stand during my worship, I am the one who is watching from the heaven what you are doing. It's not about me being present in the presence of God, but I need to be careful to do what God has commanded me as well. I have so many options. I can come anyhow. I can come with a hat or cap or a hoodie. I can choose it, but those are the deviations for me to miss out my mark. God is telling, this is the command for the whole church, that the man ought not to cover his head. Every time when we pray or prophesy, which means when we are in the public worship. And then Paul goes on to the creation order. When God created Adam, God said there is no suitable partner for Adam when he saw all the other creation, and said God made a woman from the rib of the man. Can't God take another lump of the dust and create a woman exactly in the same way how he would have created Adam? Can he do it or not? Is God all powerful? Right? So, but he did not create. What does that tell to us? That gives us an understanding of the wisdom of God, His infinite wisdom in which God chose to create a partner for Adam out of his own body. And did God not have a choice to take any of the part from Adam's body? Adam has many parts. He has head, he has hands, he has heart, he has so many things. Do you know that when God has chosen the rib to take it out and made a woman, it is part of God's wisdom? You and me might not know the granular details of why God has taken the rib to create a man, create a woman. But it is God's wisdom which God had willed to create the woman out of man through the rib, and then she became as a suitable partner for the completion of man. In another 15 minutes, we are going to go for the practical applications in our lives for this one. First, we are now understanding the created order. So, if I have a sign of authority of Christ on my head, the woman has the sign of authority as a man on her head. Because when God created, there is an order actually. There is a succession. So when man was created, he was created in the image and glory of God. And woman was created, she was taken out from the man who was already created in the image and glory of God. And therefore, she also has the same image and glory of God, but she was taken out of the man, and man is the glory of woman. So now, in the corporate worship, if God told me not to cover because my head represents Christ, you see, Paul now is instructing the woman to cover their heads because it is not Christ who is directly on the head. It is not for you to show man. But instead, the woman has to show the authority that I am under man in my life. There are no two decisions on this one. The world has been continuously brainwashing every generation that this is not correct, this is violating the independence of humanity, and then time and again this has been removed from all the churches because of the lack of understanding of the created authority and order of God. And God is very particular when it comes to the reverence to His worship. I'm not saying this lightly. It is for us to understand. It is for our awareness today. Today's session is actually for us, all of us, to have this awareness. Many women in the church do wear the covering when they are in corporate worship, thinking that I am obeying it because God ordered me, because God commanded me. However, the understanding must be complete that I am covering because I am agreeing to the authority that man is my authority in the order in which he has created. To that understanding, I have to cover. There is a lot of difference between covering ignorantly and covering with an understanding. Do you know that's the reason why Paul said in verse 3, now I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Here, head, physical head, metaphorically represents the relational head. And then the head of the woman is man, the head of Christ is God. Here comes the beautiful understanding. So we go to the last part of it. So when Paul is saying that head of Christ is God, who is Jesus Christ? Tell me, can anyone tell me who is Jesus Christ? If I ask you one open question. Word of God. Son of God. Yes, very good. He is the image of God. Yes, he is the exact representation of God. Question, isn't he God? Yes, anybody know? Right, he is that second person of the triune God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? So when Paul is talking about the head of Christ is God, what is he talking about? Paul is very clearly talking about the instruction he received from the very Jesus Christ, our Lord himself, saying that one, me, being the second person of the triune sovereign Godhead, when I came down to the redeeming purpose of humanity, I came as a man. When I came as a man, I decided, I obeyed the command of God because I came, I showed my obedience as a man, as a servant, when I came in this redemptive process, in this redemptive economy, I will always submit to my Father. It's a function God is talking about, not the essence. Now, if woman shows the sign of authority of God on her head, because God has ordered, will she not become a human being? Will she lose the essence of humanity? No. This is exactly what Paul is actually trying to make every church, every member of the church understand. You do not lose your identity, but rather when you obey, you command the blessings of God, because that's where God's blessings are present. It is to the obedience of the authority and order. We'll come to the practical applications, because we are going to come to the real family issues as well. Real unmarried singles issues as well. Children's issues as well. There are many things, all are related to this authority and order. You will understand it. I'm coming very soon to that one. But before that, we have to complete this understanding. So we will quickly read the completion of these 16 verses. I'm going to read it. Verse 3 onwards, everybody focus on the scripture. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. And every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is just as though her head were shaved. If a woman does not cover her head, she should have her hair cut off. And if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or shaved off, she should cover her head. Here, Paul is not giving an option to women that if you don't want to cover, please go and shave your head or have a short hair. No, that is not what Paul is teaching at all. I will explain you what Paul is teaching there. If a common sense in this entire world says that one, if woman do not have hair on her head, she is naturally ashamed because she lost her hair. And then, in rebellion, if you are trying to say that I don't want to agree that God had created man as my authority, you are agreeing to be shameful. Rather, you can actually go and cut off your hair, which is as shameful as you uncovering your head during a corporate worship. This is God's instruction. This is not my own. This is not Paul's own. And this is not at all for a particular generation or a culture. The reason is Paul has taken them to the creation order. There is no Corinth at the creation. There is only Adam and Eve. I'll give you one beautiful example. When God created Adam and Eve, and then the progeny came, 6,000 years today, in this random world, as people think, the outside world thinks that it's a random choice world, chance world, when all the people have come, is there a possibility that men and women can have imbalance, the number of men and women? Children, any one of you know what is the population of the world today? 8 billion, almost. Anybody precise? 8.3 billion, okay? That is, in Indian numbers, it is 830 crores of people. Does anybody know how many men and women are there in this 8.3 billion? 50.24% men, 49.76% women today. Do you think it's a random chance that men and women are exactly 50-50, just here and there, the small percent. And do you know that in spite of the rebellion from the fleshly sinful man to actually suppress the childbearing of female sex in this world, there are many countries. In spite of that one, God's order stands perfectly. That's why his wisdom is unquestionable. That's where we need to understand the command of God about the authority and order. There is a blessing in authority and order. Because Christ himself obeyed, he being the perfect image of God, he being the second person of the triune God, he said, I will serve when I come as a man. And that's the instruction he gave for every authority. So that's where our topic now moves on to the authoritarianism of man and feminism of the woman in this world. So now we move on to the practical application. So the covering is very clear. It's a command God had given to all the churches all the time, and the explanation is given very clearly because it is the order in which God has created. Right? As I told you, the 50-50 exact percentage of men and women and the population in this world, Paul concludes that one in verse 11, saying that one, we are not talking about the essence of humanity here. We are talking about the creation order of function in respect to the relational order. That's why verse 11 reads, in the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. That's exactly how the progeny happened 6,000 years. And if God is authority, God's order will never fail. God is telling, this is not about the essence of humanity I'm talking about. You are all human beings. You are all equal in my sight as the same child of God. There is neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek, neither educated nor educated. All are equal in the kingdom of God. But when it comes to the relational, functional order, if Christ has become servant of God, what stops you and me to obey the authority of God? Why do men pray with hats and caps in this world? I'm questioning that as well. If you did not observe, there are many people who don't care about how they worship God, how they pray God. They can put all kinds of things on their heads or coverings. Men I'm talking about. This is not acceptable by God, because that's the reverence is the question. In the same way, the women have to have the understanding of the sign of authority. Why the sign? Now I'll tell you briefly about the very communion we have. How many of you come here and say, I stand here, today is the day we all have to remember Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his body that was broken, and his blood that is shed upon that cross. And then I come here, Lord, I remembered, and I go. Do you agree it is communion to the obedience of God? You all say it is not the obedience, because God said you need to have the physical elements which are ordained to remember my body and my blood. Do you agree? And let's say today I bring a bottle of grape juice and a small piece of bread, and then in front of you I just take it today. Do you think those things are sanctified? Is there any meaning and value in those things? No. Because I'm not doing it as per the order of God, which means the physical elements will have their ordination when it comes to the obedience of the order of God. They don't have anything in itself. The bread and wine, if you go and take now outside, they don't have any value. It's just your normal food. But when you come here on the day of communion and take the same piece of bread and wine, the physical elements will have a representation. They are the sign of the blood that was shed and the sign of the body that was broken. And then your head in the church in corporate worship is the sign of authority that God has made you from man. And my head is a sign of authority that Christ is my head and I should not cover him. I have to rather openly show to the world that he is my head. He is my head means relational head. My physical head is a sign. When I go outside and do my corporate work, you ought not need to do this one because there the ordinance is different. So how God's ordinance takes shapes, we need to understand according to the command and the place, because in verse 10, if you see, for this reason, and because of the angels, a woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. What is this angels? When we come for a corporate worship, all the angelic beings continuously watch each and every one of us in which order we are worshiping God. In which obedience we are worshiping God. God is a God of order and perfection. There is no disorder or chaos in God's economy. From the creation, from the beginning till the end, you will always see a perfection and order. The angelic beings are always looking at you and me in how much orderly way we are worshiping God. Because angels themselves know what it is to be in the hierarchy. What it is to be an archangel, what it is to be a cherubim and seraphim, and God created hierarchy, they absolutely obey to that one. And they, when they see a disorder in the church, they get displeased, disappointed, and God gets displeased. So now let's move on to Ephesians chapter 5. This will reflect in our day-to-day life as well. So what we do in the corporate church, corporate body of Christ during the time of praying and prophesying will continue its effect in our day-to-day lives. Now here Paul exactly continuing the same admonition, verse 21 I would say, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because Christ came as a servant leader. He was never an authoritarian leader. I'll explain that one, what it is, the difference between a servant leader and an authoritarian leader. So submit to one another, because we always see our model and example as Jesus Christ, who came down, who is God himself, and obeyed to the perfection about the how to serve. He served God and he served his disciples and showed that you ought to follow me as an example. And then Paul now moves on to the household. In Corinthians, he said, head of every man is Christ, head of every woman is man. He's talking about a man and a woman as a generic gender. He comes here, now the relation closes down. He's talking about a family. He is not telling women submit to your man. No, the instruction is wives submit to your husband. The relationship order is now coming closer and more precise. So that is the wisdom through which God created. When God created Eve through the rib of Adam, God said, I make you complete. So both of them together as one are complete in the Lord. So wife, submit to your husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. So the instruction is clear. I will continue the husband part also. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. I'll stop here. Now, we'll take one important point for the next 5 minutes. It is not an uncommon thing in this world, because of the fallen nature of the humanity, both genders, there is a constant rebellion towards this command of loving and submission. In reality, what happens in every human's life is that this battle happens individually within themselves. It is not because there is another person, the husband is there or for the husband, the wife is there. Try to understand it clearly. I may want to re-explain it. This battle is not because my wife is there or not because for a wife, the husband is there. No, it is because of the very sinful nature of rebellion inside the flesh of humanity. When woman is supposed to submit, the very opposite that the submission is to have control over her husband. The reason is that woman is very, very, very afraid of security. What is it you are talking about? Maybe you may ask me a question. The security is about, unless a woman feels secure, her nature does not allow her to obey, not just husband, even to God. God, you have to assure me that I am safe and secure in you. I am ready to obey. My obedience is now dependent on when I feel secure. So every woman goes into this loop of obedience with security, which will never end, and there is a restlessness in every woman. We keep women on one side. Now we come to the man. How do God deal with every man? Because man was created in the image and likeness of God. When God deals with man, God says, I command you, O man, to do it. This is my authority. Man thinks, God who created me is saying, because of my authority, I command you. What should I do? Who is there below me? My wife is there. Wife, do it. So he also comes into a loop, not understanding the meaning of the authority. Women not understanding the trust relationship, instead a fear-bound relationship she tries to continuously establish with her husband. Man trying to continuously establish an authoritarian relationship with her wife. They go into a misunderstanding of the very word of God, and that loop continues and also crosses between husband and wife. How it crosses husband and wife is, unless she obeys to everything I say, I will not be able to show the love. Unless I feel secure that he will love me, I will not obey my husband. And this goes into an eternal loop where restlessness continues in every human's life. Now, God redeemed his children out of this bondage. This is there outside of this premise, out of what I'm talking about. That is still continuing because they do not have a new creation. This rebellion from the flesh is only overcome by faith in God. Because when we understand the created order, we understand the wisdom of God in creating that order. We are not the same in function. We are not the same in relation. We are same in a sense of child of God. We are same in the sense of humanity. But in the relational order, we are not the same. And when we obey the commandment of the God to submit unconditionally with a trust that I will be secure, don't worry about your future security, because if man is your authority, Christ is the authority over man, and God will assure you your security in your obedience, in faith and in trust, not in your fear. So the fear-based obedience will never come. That will be only artificial and temporary. A trust-based obedience is what God asks from every woman, both to the husband and to God. Because you cannot submit to God not submitting to the husband. I cannot love God not loving my wife. It is impossible. You cannot bypass these things and say that I love God. You cannot bypass this and say, Lord, I trust you, I obey you, but not willing to submit to your husband. There is a beauty in the submission. There is a beauty in the love. only if we understand the created authority and order of God and His wisdom. And today, even children are being brainwashed that you have to be independent. I was smiling in my mind when Pastor was saying, the day you surrendered your independence, Pastor was talking about wedding anniversary. Do you remember that? Right? God never created you as independent. What does verse 11 say? Verse 11 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 11, 1 Corinthians. In the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. The scripture says it all. You cannot live independent lives in this world. There is a created order of perfection in which there are blessings, in which there is a protection, in which there is a joy, there is peace, there is love. There is every fruit of the Spirit that comes under the umbrella under which God has created. That's why God is the head. Christ's head is God. Man's head is Christ. Woman's head is man. Children come under the parents. Is it not true? Even children are brainwashed today. I am also a human being. My parents also are human being. Why should I obey? Can't they be equal to me? Why are my teachers asking me to obey? Are they not just another human being like me? Of course, we are not talking about the humanity as an essence here. We are all human beings. But there is a created order which God ordains the blessings. Ephesians chapter 5. If we move to the last verse. Rather, I'm going to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. The submission order is so beautiful, it permeates in a very beautiful sequence. How many of you, as a father, like your children not to obey you, thinking that why should I obey God? How many of the women here like your children disobey you, thinking that why should I obey my husband? The same question comes back to you, comes back to me. If I don't want to obey my God, and then I expect my children to obey me, is it not hypocrisy on my behalf? If Christ is my head, and I dishonor, I disobey in everything, and I say, children, because you are created in an order, godly order, obey me. That's not right. I must obey my God, my head. In the same way, mothers also. They cannot expect their children to obey them and then do not do what the scripture says of obeying husband in everything. So, there must not be a conditional loop for obedience in this created order. It must be unconditional as God has ordained. The wisdom prevails. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is for you to act in all your will and in your strength and your mind according to the order and authority God has ordained you. I know where I am going. The world may come with the right side and left side, so many options and disturbances in my mind, creating delusions and confusion. But when I know my mark, I go and I act according to God's purpose, which is already straight in front of me. So I walk straight, even though it is very narrow. If I go left, I can see a broad way. If I go right, I can see a broad way. But God said, narrow is the way that will take you to the kingdom of God. There the blessings are commanded. So it is a duty for us to understand. Paul is talking about know the created order. whole world functions like that. The world has taken the clue from the very word of God. The headship remains everywhere because the head is the one which gives the function. So as a man, my responsibility is to take care of my wife and family for them to function. Authority without care is useless. A man thinking that I am man because my wife obeys me. No, I am man because I love my wife and children and I take care of them. That's the meaning of the real authority God is talking about. The submission is that God has put the wisdom of leading a family in the hands of a man. I will not take the reins of it. I will submit to my husband. Of course, you are supposed to give the advice and the man is supposed to take it. But the decision making must be of the man. The reason is we will avoid many, many, many disasters in our life if we follow the created authority and order of God. Because in it is the blessing. In it is the wisdom. There God allows us to function in a way where we move to the fulfillment of the purposes ordained for our families as individual and as a corporate church. So that's why we take the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Ephesians 5, a corporate church obedience aspects, a family obedience aspects, and children and my NG4C, my youth. Don't fear that the world is like that. There is an extreme feminism and authoritarianism in the world. Don't worry about the world. You are a redeemed child of God. You have been made a new creation. And then God will give you that wisdom to rightly put your authority for the beautiful functioning of a family and the beautiful submission wherein everything goes in a perfect order and there will be joy, peace and love in every one of our families. May God bless you and may God bless His word. Amen.
You can do better than that. Put those hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. I would suggest that every family should sit back together and listen to this word again in our website. Try as much as possible to go through it because it is God ordained, heavenly baked, and prepared for the family. Reason why we have so much chaos, hardship, turmoil in the family today is simply because this order that God has set in the family is being overlooked. It's being overlooked. We have situations where the man does not submit to the authority of God. They believe in their ability and capability, intellect, strength, the ability to make money. And so they overlook the things of God. They put God aside and pursue things by their physical strength. You have usurped your authority. And the woman will say, if I am not the one taking this decision, then it shall not stand. If I am there, this decision is not supposed to hold. And the man will say one, the woman will say no. The woman will say, this one must be the one to stand. And by this, they cause chaos in the whole family, including the children. Except we turn to the order that God has put in place by being submissive to God, that is the man, and the woman being submissive to the man according to the order of God, chaos remains the case. No matter how we cannot abridge the order of God. It stands. That is true wisdom. That is the wisdom of God. So I admonish us. I don't want to go too much into this. I want us to go back and listen to this word so that we can walk in the hierarchy that God has put in place for us as families so that we'll avoid chaos, continuous chaos, heartache in our families. Let us rise up on our feet and thank God for this word that has come. So many struggles in family today is not because God is not ready to pour out his blessings, but because this order has been misused. The man is not submitting to God. The woman is saying, no, you cannot lead over me. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, it said, wives need to submit to their own husbands. And if God is your God, you as a man, you also need to submit to him, to serve him. We're going to pray grace for submission unto higher authorities. We receive it. Grace to submit, irrespective of our qualifications. Oftentimes, we know more than God. Oftentimes, the men, we know more than God. Oftentimes, the women, they know more than the husband. They are more qualified. Oftentimes, the children, they know more than the parents. Grace for submission. Let's ask. Lord, I may be more learned. I may have seen the world more than anybody else. But I pray for grace to be submissive. I pray for grace to be submissive. I may have all the strength it takes, the knowledge, the wisdom, the qualification. Help me to be submissive to you, God, as a man. To seek your face for anything, before anything, so that there will be no more chaos in my life and in my family. Thank you, my Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Father, we thank you for this word that has come today. Thank you for putting this word in the mouth of your servant, in the mind of your servant to share this word. We are grateful to you again for elucidating on the hierarchy of the family. The head of every man is Christ. Help us as men to look unto you, Jesus Christ. Even as you looked unto God, you said, I do nothing except I see my Father do it. Let that be our position at all times. Help us to wait on you, no matter who is breathing down our neck, to hear from you, to take every step in the mighty name of Jesus. Also pray for our sisters. Grace for them to be submissive to their husbands, that there will be no more chaos in our families. We pray that you will help them to be submissive to their own husband in the name of Jesus Christ. Also pray for the children, that you help them, oh God, to be obedient to their parents. Thank you, Father, for your son you have used today. We pray that you continue to open his eyes to your word. That next time he has the opportunity to serve of the throne of grace, we'll receive of him and be blessed. Be glorified. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we have prayed. Praise God. Let's share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.